Good morning to each one gathered out this morning. It's good to be here with you again. I enjoyed the service, enjoyed the Sunday school. I enjoyed the children that came up here and said their memory work. And just a little thing that I noticed, and that is most of this age over here just read theirs. I think if you look in your book, it says memory work. Now, I know that maybe sometimes we as adults don't do very good at being examples, but I do think it's easier learning memory work when you're little. And someday, some of these boys up here, one or two or maybe three of them will be preachers. Maybe. Probably. And the more Bible verses you have memorized, it's really helpful, because as you're thinking about subjects, you think about verses. And it's so for next Sunday, see if you can memorize it. I won't be here, so I won't know. But I am blessed to be here this morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus, the one who said, I must work the works of him while it is day. The light cometh when no man can work. The title for this morning's message is Always Abounding in the Work of the Lord, and I get excited about this subject. I am excited about it, but it also brings a little fear to my heart, because I know when you speak on a subject that it calls you to a level of accountability, I'm going to say. And there's some things that, as I thought about this, and as I preached this morning, that I don't have it all right, and I got some things I need to work on, some things I need to grow in, some areas I need to change. First of all, this morning, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So I left my circle up here, but I'm going to change it just a little bit this morning, because I don't like the way it looks, and it's not quite the way I believe. So if you can bear with me, this is more what I believe. I think work should be more like this, and I think we could call this, rather than recreation, we could call it maybe relaxation. Since we're always supposed to be abounding in the work of the Lord, I'm going to put, instead of work here, I'm going to put on duty. And up here, even though we sleep, I'm also going to put on duty. So now you see, rather than having this thing where we sleep and we work and we have recreation, now I'm going to propose this morning to you that we always abound in the work of the Lord. And it affects every hour of every day. Not every night you get woke up. Some night you maybe woke up with somebody in the church, somebody that needs a hand, something's happening, and you get out of bed and you do it. It's the Lord's work. Okay. So then we're going to take the years, and I know whenever Tim closed last night, he said work, 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 and I felt a little bit, I guess that's what I preached, but that's what I'm going to preach this morning, because always abounding in the work of the Lord, that means from the time you're saved and you accept Christ, whatever age that is, until you're laying flat in the coffin, we're called to one thing, and that is work. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Turn to 1 Corinthians.
Where this verse is found, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we're going to start. I'm not going to really stick at this point. I have another spot in the Bible I plan to go for the main part of the message, but I'm going to start here. This is where the verse is found. And I believe we're going to start at verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And this is exciting. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that verse comes right ahead of the following verse that says, therefore, because of the victory that we can have through the Lord Jesus Christ, because someday we want to be changed, and we're going to be changed if we believe in God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, which means settled and immovable. And then the next word is unmovable, which seems to almost carry the same thought, but it means firmly persistent, steadfastly firmly persistent, always, that means at all times and in any event, abounding, and that means to exceed in a fixed number of measures. So that means if there's a certain amount of things that is important, abounding would be going over and beyond what's expected. Abounding. In the work. The work. In the work, in the employment, in the business of doing the Lord's work, what the Lord has for us to do. For as much as ye know that your labor, this work and this toil and this wearisome that we experience on earth is not in vain. It's not empty. It's not without purpose as long as it's in the Lord. What a statement. Are you committed to that? Are you committed this morning to always abounding in the work of the Lord? Jesus left this example for us. Now, if you look at a few of those scriptures this morning, turn to Luke chapter 6. I already read what we have as our theme, Jesus' words there. But Jesus, early on in his life, he realized he was here for a purpose. And he says in Luke chapter 2, verse 46 to 49, of course, his parents took him up to Jerusalem. He was 12 years old. And they were headed home. And they suddenly realized Jesus wasn't with them. And so they turned around, and after 3 days of searching, and I'm sure a lot of why weren't you watching him? Maybe some back and forth between Joseph and Mary. I don't know how that was, but somehow he got lost. And we know when our children gets lost, there's generally this little thing that happens. I mean, Jesus was 12. He should have been with them. They found him. What did he say? And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple. What was he doing? Sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and answering them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why dost thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business, my father's work? However, we know he went and was subject unto them. Turn over to John now. If you read through the book of John, there's numerous times Jesus makes a similar statement about doing the will of the Father. John 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What was Jesus here to do? He was here to do the will of the Father, to finish his work. Over to John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Again, we have Jesus saying, I'm doing just what God wants. I'm working for the Father. Over to John 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Again, we have him. Doing the will of the Father, doing the will of the Father. Now, Jesus is no longer here. We know that, right? Jesus is no longer here in person. And when he was here, he said about how that he was the light of the world. And then he says in Matthew, I'll go back and check. I think it's Matthew, I forget which chapter. But he says about how that ye are the light of the world. So when Jesus was here, he was the light of the world. But now that he's gone, we are supposed to be the light of the world. So we're going to carry on, and I'm going to suggest to you this morning that since Jesus' departure, the church of Jesus Christ left here on earth are to pick up the work of the Father, the work of God. And he has a plan for us. He has a work for us. And this morning, if you have been baptized, if you've been born again, maybe even not been baptized yet, but at your baptism, you have made a vow. You will vow, or you have vowed, that you believe in Jesus. And you will no longer be a servant to Satan. That means you will have a different master. You will no longer serve sin. You will no longer serve the devil. You will no longer serve Satan. You will serve who? You will serve God. So you will quit the business with Satan, and you'll join the business of God, the work of God. And you promise that you would do that until when? Until you lay flat on the ground, until death. Jesus in his prayer in John 17 said this, that our duty on earth is to live in such a way that the world would believe in Jesus and the God sent him. That's our duty. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul writes to the Corinthians, you can turn there, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. I believe Paul understood the importance of the body of Christ to continue to work for God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. All of it. Whatever you do, whatever your spot in your day cycle amounts to, honor and glory to God. All of it. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, it says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth. And then if you go down to the end of the chapter, verse 17, it has this word. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's clear, whatsoever you do in word and deed, that's all the way around the circle. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. As a child of God this morning, if you've become a child of God, you have promised and you've made it your decision that you're going to serve Almighty God. And you're going to work in his kingdom. And you're going to do what he wants you to do. Am I right? That's what you've agreed to. Okay. Now for the message, I want to take it from Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to plan to pull the message out of the parable of the talents this morning. But before I go there, I'd like to take you to a little mind scenario, a business, earthly. Bring it down to earthly business scenario. So we can think a little bit about how businesses operate, and then I'm going to liken it to the kingdom of God here this morning. So I know there's, I don't know very many faces here. I don't know what all you do for business, but I do know Sonny has a garage door business, okay? I think he puts garage doors in, or he has employees to put garage doors in, but I think he has employees. You have employees, Sonny? A couple of them, that's it. So Sonny goes out, and he sells a garage door, or several garage doors. And he needs to get these garage doors installed, so he tells his workers, listen, I have garage doors I want you to install. And they say, well, where at? And he I don't know if he sends two people out, if he has a lead man, like a laborer, but probably some jobs, I'm sure he has somebody that knows more what they're doing. You send a helper along. You put them in that truck, you send them out there, you give them the tools they need. I don't know what tools he has, whether it's DeWalt or Milwaukee, it probably doesn't matter. I like red. But he sends them, and I don't even know what truck he drives. I can have preference there too, but he sends them out to the job. And he gives them a work and says, this is what's supposed to happen. I'll give you everything you need to do it. I'll give you the truck. I'll give you the tools. I'll give you the doors. And they go to the job. And the doors go in, right? I used to work for a construction company. And they had every tool that we needed to build. They had the trucks. They had the skid loaders. They had the digging equipment, the excavators. We had the man lifts. We had the nailers. We had whatever it took to get the job done. He had employees with different levels of experience, different levels of management. And he would sell the job. And he would tell the employees, here's the truck, here's the tools, here's the equipment, here's the address. And the employees would get into the truck, and they would go to the job. And at that point, he knew the job would get done, right? There's something missing. The only way that job will get done, the only way Sonny's garage doors will get installed is if when his employees get to the job, they decide they're working for Sonny. Sonny can provide them with all the tools. My previous employer could supply me with all the tools. But if I got to the job and decided I wasn't working for my former boss, if his employees get to the job and say, I'm not working for Sonny, the garage doors aren't going to go in. And that will create some friction between the employer and the employee. Because, see, whenever the employee signed up for the job, they told Sonny, I will do what you want me to do. And Sonny says, go put a garage door in. Now the garage doors didn't get put in, and Sonny looks at his employees and says, but you told me you would. And they said, well, you know, we got there, and it was hot, and we didn't feel like it, or it was a good day to fish, and we decided to go fishing, or we decided to do something different. Well, I can assure you that the reward that Sonny had promised them, that if you work for me at the end of a week, at the end of 2 weeks, or however he does his payroll, there's a reward, there'll be a paycheck. I can assure you at the end of the end of the day, at the end of the week, that employee will not get his pay. Not that pay. He will get a reward, but his reward will probably be find a different job. Do something different. And I will hire somebody else to work for me. And I don't think this would come as a surprise to his employees. Let's read Matthew 25. Starting at verse 14. Very similar scenario. Think about this as we read. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gatherest where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This morning, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling. And I'm going to suggest to you this morning that the master in this, the man traveling, the master is the God, Jesus. And he is no longer here, but he is calling his servants. And his servants are who? Who did I say his servants were? Is everyone in this audience that has been born again and that has said, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And he is calling all of his servants. If you look at this, he says, who called his own servants. He called the people that said, I will serve you. And it says his own servants. It doesn't say some of his servants. I believe that he calls all of his servants. And everyone here, there was something you can do to get involved in the work of the Lord. And there's something you can do to build. Now, the difference between the scenario of Sonny, and that is that when we have employees and our employees have jobs, they're only responsible for a certain part of their time, whether it's 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours to man. But with God, we are on duty always, and we never get away from that. Remember that. We find ourselves in America. And I talked some about this last night. We find ourselves in an era of time where we have been given much. And tonight and this morning, I want to think about the talents. I want to think about our time and our resources. What we can apply to always abounding in the work of the Lord. We live in a country where we can work for money. As I said last night, more money than it takes to stay alive. We live in a country where food is plentiful. We live in a country where we have religious freedom. We live in a country where we can each have our own Bible, several of them, and we can buy enough to give to all our neighbors. We live in an era of time where we can communicate with people all over the world in a matter of seconds, instantly. We live in a time where we can get in a car and drive 115 miles in 2 hours and worship with other believers. And we live in a time where we can get in an airplane and we can be in another country in a half a day. This is what we have in our fingertips. This is the opportunities that God has placed into the hands of his people in this day and age. We have these opportunities. And my question is, what are we doing with them? Are we abounding in the work of the Lord? Or are we using the tools and the talents and the things he has given us to build his kingdom on our side job? And are we building things that bring us honor and glory? Were we building things that make people look at me, or are we involved in the work of the Lord? This morning, I believe each one here, no matter your age, if you're a born-again Christian, you have been given a talent. Do you believe that? Everyone here has a talent. You might say, I don't know. But you do. I'm convinced of it. God makes no mistakes. He makes no people with no talents. He gives every person at least one. Now, I know there are some people that's more talented than others, and we need to accept that when we are less talented. But He gives all of us one, and I'm suggesting this morning that most of you here have more than one. And we'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. So with that foundation being laid, I have several points that it seems like a high calling. How do we even get this done? Well, again, I'm going to revert back to a few kind of, I got to get it down where I can process this because I'm not as, maybe deep. I don't have that talent of really deep thinking, so I have to keep it simple for myself so I can understand myself. But can we always get it right? I'm going to say probably not. And I don't think we have to beat ourselves up whenever we don't quite get it right. I think God understands that in our humanity, sometimes we make mistakes and we need to fess up to them, and sometimes we need to go back and make it right, and sometimes we just say from here on out, I'm going to try to remember to do different because we get forgetful and we get sidetracked in our minds. I don't know if it happens when we get older or I don't know what age, but our minds start to get like it's hard to keep all these things that's going on in our lives separate. But anyway, the first point that we can help us to get it right, and that is to remember that we are all servants. We must always view ourselves as servants. I am a servant. And then we consider ourselves as servants, and I don't care how much wealth you have, I don't care how big your business is, it's only because of God that you have it. And you could read a David back in Chronicles, I'm not exactly sure the chapter, but David, when they were getting ready to build the temple, David took up an offering from the people, and he told God, he says, we're simply giving you of what you gave us. In other words, you gave us all this stuff, we're just turning it back. So I don't care how much money you have, I don't care how much wealth you have, I don't care how big your business is, you only have it because God gave it to you. And all we are is servants, in this case, stewards of 10 talents, and our job is to take that and turn it back into His kingdom and build His kingdom. That's our job. We are not self-employed. Another thing we need to understand this morning, and that is the work of the Lord is not just certain work in certain places. And it's easier for us as in our Mennonite culture, I'm just going to call it, that we compartmentalize things, okay? So I remember some time ago, I'll just say it this way. I had a son that was in instruction class, and it's been several years ago, and the pastor asked him what he wanted to do as he grew up, and some of his goals, I guess, as being a Christian. He said he wanted to go serve on the mission field. Now, that's a worthy goal, but I, as a dad, felt a little bit sad because I think when he said mission field, that he was thinking Bangladesh, Ukraine, Honduras, New York for Jesus, etc. But that's all good things. But we have to remember that the mission field is right here. It's right here. There's a church in Chambersburg that I've been to for a wedding or something. It's not Calvary. But whenever you leave the driveway, they have this sign, you're now entering the mission field. And it's good for us to think about that we don't have to go to foreign lands. The mission is right around us. And I was hearing that in your Sunday school this morning, that we need to be picking the person up that doesn't have the driver's license. It's wonderful. That's right. God's work, the Lord's work is everywhere. We're placed right here in it. And we don't have to look. Foreign missions is not wrong. It's a blessing. But we need to understand that the same life that we want to go over there and portray, you just live right here. I have a brother-in-law in Belize. And him and his wife went down there many years ago, a number of years by now. And he said it seemed strange when he came back that people was like, oh, you're some special missionary now. And he says, I'm just down there living life like y'all do up here. And I went down to visit him one time, and that was true. He went to town, and people would say, hey, how are you doing? It's good to see you. And he would smile and wave and have a little chit-chat. The mission field. We can do it right here. It's the same. A city down there is a city right here. Altoona, I drove through it. It's huge. Winchester's big. We don't have to go out of the country. It's right here. Jesus said this in John 4. Say ye not there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look. It's all around us. Get busy. The third thing, in order to get this right, and that is it takes conscious effort. Good things don't just happen. We kind of wish they would. Sometimes it seems like they kind of do, but mostly if a good thing's going to happen, it takes effort. Okay, this morning, you put effort into coming to church. You just didn't just wake up and you, boom, in church. Somebody says, hey, we want to go to church. We get up, we put effort, we plan, make decisions. This is our goal. That's the way things happen. That's probably how you got married. I'm going to tell the young boys, I told them out last night, it's good to get married. It takes work. You have to make some plans. All of a sudden, somebody ain't going to bump into somebody and this is, I'm married now. No, it takes work. You plan and you make deliberate choices. And that's how we serve in God's kingdom. And that is that you have to make deliberate effort. You can't just get up and bump through life. You're probably going to miss it. You have to think now, how can I today point one person to Christ? How can I today say it's raining, but we need the rain and God sent it? How can I just point people that way? So in life, three things. Remember, we're servants, and the work is not in certain areas, in certain places, it's here. It's where we're at. Wherever we are, there's a work. And number three, it takes conscious effort. Now, for the remainder of the message, I plan to just look at this parable and think about the talents and the mistake that the one man made and what the other two men did and how we can use our opportunities in some way. When God returns, as we read here in this passage, he is looking for something greater than he has given us. He's given us opportunity. He comes, he is looking for someone who has invested energy into his business, energy into his work, and have produced an outcome. In this audience, I'm sure there's I already said this, there's variance in talents. There is a variation of opportunities. There's probably men here that work for other people. There's men here that own their own business. There's those here who probably own land. There's probably some who here just rent. There's probably some here who have a lot of money. There may be people here who are just barely staying ahead, and the next bill comes and you wonder, how will we pay that one? There's wives here, there's mothers here, there's probably school teachers here. There's unmarried men, there's unmarried women. There's people who have lots to say, and then there's people that are more shy and speak very little. There are those who are outgoing and those who are quiet. And all of them have ways that they can infiltrate the kingdom of God and pull people along, because people connect in different levels and different areas and different ways. With the talents that we are given in this era of time, God is asking us to use them, whichever one you have. So looking at the talents, kind of the second part of the message, and that is, number one, what not to do. And I want to think about the mistakes that the servant with the one talent made. Because I like to look at him first, not last. It's kind of depressing. But letter A, he focused on himself and his fear. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. What was his problem? Perhaps that man, he was handed out one talent. I'm going to do some assumption here, but he was handed out one talent. And as he looked at that one talent, he thought to himself, I may never have this much money again. And I'm not sure what to do with it. I'm not sure where I should best put it to its best advantage. And so he just left it lie, did nothing. Perhaps that talent this morning in our society would be the means of transportation that God has poured into us. And we say, but I'm kind of afraid to leave home. Perhaps this morning that one talent you have is a means of communication, and you think in yourself, I'll probably just say the wrong thing. And we have these thoughts. Something happens, you're like, well, I should probably, but I don't know what to say. Maybe somebody else will. And you just let it lie. Perhaps he thought about the time that he had that he had in his era, or we could think about the time we have. And he thought, there's so many things I need to get done myself, and then I'll serve. And in the end, nothing. When the Lord came back, he says, I don't really have any excuse, but I was afraid and I just never got anything done. This morning, are you afraid to use what God has given you? Perhaps he realized that there was work involved, and it is work. Kingdom building is work. Church building is work. And in case you didn't know it, when something happens, somebody does it. Okay? We take some of these things for granted. You come to church, the lights are on. Maybe the snow's pushed off. Maybe the salt melts down. Somebody does it. It's work. Kingdom building is work. If somebody's going to get picked up along the street or somebody's going to be given a meal, somebody has to do it. It's work. Maybe this man thought it's just too much work. I don't feel like it. Perhaps this man looked around and realized that his opportunities were so much less than all the other people that he knew. He looked at them other men that got the talent and said, well, they have so much more opportunity. And what's the use? And just threw up his hands. It says here that he wasn't sure how the Lord operated. Maybe he was kind of like a new employee, and he was hired, and he wanted to be involved in the work, but he was kind of scared. Where will I fit? What should I do? Well, he could have asked. He could have looked at that talent and said, God, Master, how would you like me to use it? How should I use it? Ask if you find yourself in fear and are trying to decide what should I do with my only measly gift that I have, ask somebody else and say, how would you advise me to? Don't just hide it. At least when the Lord comes back, you will have done what you could. Letter B, doing nothing is not an option. This morning, doing nothing in this parable was not an option. Doing nothing, if you work for Sonny, will not be an option. He will lay you off. He will get a different employee. And if we do nothing, God is not happy. And when he comes back, he is asking to see something. And I want to also bring out this morning the point that we have a man with one talent. And this is where I hinted at a little bit last night on the riches thing. So we have a man with one talent, and he didn't gain anything. The other two people in this story, we have a man given five talents, and he gained how many more? Five. I wonder if he would only gain four, if that would have been okay. Or the man that had two, I wonder if he would only gain one, if it would have been okay. And that's where I'm going to go with, Jesus said it's not wrong to be rich, but he said it makes it very, very, very hard, because I believe that the more we have, the more opportunities we have, the more talents we have, God is expecting each one to build his kingdom. And even though we have five and we take one, two, three, and four and we get them all right and we lay this one off to the side for our own agenda, there will be a reckoning. And that's the reason I believe that Jesus said it's hard for the rich debtor, because it's so hard when we have plenty to get it all channeled where it needs to be. But that's what I think God is asking of us. So point number two, how do we use our talents? How do we use the opportunities we're giving and always abounding in the work of the Lord? And I already laid kind of three foundation points. But I'm just going to suggest this morning that we need to focus on the opportunities that we have and use them. And just think about the opportunities you have. We all have different opportunities, but perhaps you're a young person here this morning and you've given your heart to the Lord and you say, but I'm so young and what should I do? Well, if you're in a family, you can show your younger brothers and sisters what it looks like to be a Christian and to serve God and show the peace and joy that can come from a heart that's surrendered to God. You don't have to be out on the street witnessing. You can do it right in the home. Perhaps this morning you're in your late teens, early 20s. And use that time and energy and work and do more than just your own thing. God gave you, the many of us, the health and the strength to work way beyond what we need for survival. And in your young years, there's many opportunities of service that you can engage yourself in. Do more than just pour into your energy and your talents into your hobbies, into your hunting and camping, whatever else your favorite thing is. Take that energy and that work and that money and pour it in to something. Some of the recreational things we do is not all wrong, but my question is, how much of our energy is going into it? And when the Lord returns, will He look at our talents and say, what have you done with them? What have you done with what I've given you? Whose kingdom are you building? Perhaps you're a mother here this morning, and your time mostly consists of tending your children at home, and you think, what can I do? Well, your children are the kingdom. Your children. They are the most important thing you can invest in. They are the only thing that we can hope to have with us in glory if they make the right decisions. And when they're young, wrap your arms and your heart around those children and teach them about God. Teach them about God through the nature. The power of God through the thunderstorms. Our children are precious, and are you pouring your energy into them? Never for one minute, mothers and wives, think that you need to have some vocation where you can interact with the world and somehow win souls. You can do that right in your home. It's not wrong. There's doctor visits that mothers get involved in. There's stores, there's cashiers when you do get out. And I'm going to suggest this morning that you don't do all your shopping online. It's easy, it's fun, it saves the ruckus of going to town. But you will never witness Amazon. And we need to get beyond that. And we need to sometimes go to the store and look at that cashier and smile and say, how are you doing? Might be the only smile that cashier sees in the day because there's a lot of hurt people. And when they comment about your beautiful children and how well they behave, point to them about it's God and it's the Bible way. And if they act up, that's okay, because that's children. But there's a difference in the way children respond, whether they're screaming and begging for everything on the shelves or whether they see a child that is disciplined. I think there's a difference. There's other ways women can serve. And I'm going to just suggest a few things, and that is, if you like to sew, there's probably women here who like to sew, and this, you can sew that next new dress for yourself, but you can sew for somebody else. I remember, and I'm not saying this to lift myself up, I'm just saying it as an illustration. We have a little egg stand there where we sell eggs at our place, and I remember I wasn't there. I had my own thoughts about it for a while, but I've changed them. But this old man, my wife said, this old man knocked on the door of the house and says, can you fix the suspender on my bib overalls? Could you sew it? We figure you all are probably sewing people. And I didn't know this fella. You know, I said to my wife's like, I told him I would. And I said, well, I guess it's okay. She said he's old. And well, it turned out to be it produced a very good relationship. And the man and his wife, they're actually God-fearing people. And we've had interactions. They'll come over and sit in our house. But it was just one way. And all it was a lady said, I'll sew your suspender strap, rather than sewing for yourself. Building God's kingdom. I know there's people here who love to cook, probably, and maybe make cookies and cakes, and you can invest all that into your family. But when the Amazon driver does come, give him a cookie. Take one of them fresh bakes. I'm pretty sure he'll like it. Give him a cookie. Maybe the mailman. Our mailman sometimes circles up by the house, and if I'm at home, I generally make sure. It's like, hey, you got something there I can take out to that fellow? And he always gives me a big grin, and he eats the cookie. You see, where we live and where we are is where we can serve. But we have to look for those opportunities. And there's lots that we miss, but you could take a box of cookies to your local fire company. And there's ways you can reach into people's lives, and they will look and think, now this is different. These people are about something other than themselves. And it makes a statement, and it builds the kingdom with just things that we like to do, like baking and sewing. Maybe you're a father here this morning, and you just look at your talents and think, I can't hardly lead songs. I can't hardly share an inspiration devotions. It just feels like it comes out wrong. It's hard to teach Sunday school, and others can do it better. But God gives differing abilities. We understand that. But I want to say this morning that we don't have to go through life trying to decide what talent we have, whether we have this talent, whether we should be serving here. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that all we simply do is whenever we're asked to serve, that we serve. That's all God's asking. He's giving you opportunity, and somebody says, will you fill this need? Fill it. And if you don't think you can lead songs, I'm going to suggest when somebody asks you, do you do it anyway and let them decide. If you've never asked again, then maybe that's right. If you're asked again, maybe you'll grow in it. Every day of work for we men, those of us who work outside of the home, every day is an opportunity, and we work in the workforce. I know some of you all here employ local community men, and I think that's a good thing. You can do that. You can show them. And as we interact with people, whether they work for us or whether we're working for them or however it is, they're viewing our lives. And like the brother said in the Sunday school this morning, that what do they hear whenever politics comes up, whenever wars are discussed? Those people that we meet on a daily basis and in our circle are listening to what we have to say. And they are thinking, are they ever surprised? If I'm surprised he said that, I wonder. They know what subjects we're most interested in. People know when you talk to somebody, if you get on the right subject, suddenly, boom, we have a conversation. What's that conversation? What's yours? What do people know you if I talk to Brother Tim? What's going to get him going? Is it, I don't know, hunting? Or is it the Lord and his work? And it's hard. I don't think every conversation has to be about the Lord. I'll say that here. I don't think every conversation. But we need to have a God consciousness in every conversation. And somehow point people to that direction. Are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Are we committed to it? And I know in these areas, I can improve. There's always things that you can improve. There's always more ways that you can think about how can we impact people. But that is always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's always being there on duty. If somebody needs help, are you there? Do the neighbors know that if they run into a situation that they could probably call you and you would send somebody, or you would come yourself to help them out, or send a child or something, an older child to help them? Maybe this morning, and I don't know this congregation, but maybe there's this morning there's a single person here that wishes they were married, and you just think, if only I was married, then I could find my spot. Well, God has a spot for you outside of marriage, and there's many married women that think, if I wasn't married, then I could probably serve here and here. And it takes both in the world. Find somebody somewhere that just needs a listening ear. Visit your elderly neighbor. Do something. Send a message to someone that's lonely. There's many, many ways that as a single person on either side of the house can serve rather than just serving themselves. Use your talent. Maybe you're an older person here. And I like all ages of people. I like young people because of their energy. I like children because of their innocency. I love middle-aged people because that's where I'm at and I can connect with. And I love old people that smile because then I can look forward to getting old because there's still something to look forward to. And but maybe you're old and maybe you're an older person and you think, what can I do? And I would just say encourage the younger, because as a young person, it's just nice, even as a middle-aged, to hear somebody say, keep on, keep on keeping on. Because it's worth it. And maybe you have people coming to your house to do different types of work or whatever, and you can make them conscious of God. And maybe you need to go to the doctor and you have your aches and pains, but you can tell the doctor about the new body you're going to get. And somehow, again, in every age of life, wherever we're at in life, if we think and we consciously take effort, we can find places to build that kingdom. And then just a little throw out here, what not to do, and that is don't focus on the opportunities of others and what they're doing. And I think this sometimes is my trap, is where I find myself, and that is, but Lord, I've done this and this and this. Do I really have to do that? Can't somebody else do it? Well, you know, that's what Peter said back in John 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, thou knowest I love you. And he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And he said unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. And he said the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love you. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And then he told Peter about some of the hard things he was going to face in life. And I guess Peter, he was kind of in overload and like, Lord, you really singled me out. And he just looked around and says, and Lord, what shall this man do? What shall these men do? You've asked me to do this and this and this. And what about everyone else in the church? What about everyone else in your kingdom? What are they doing? And what did Jesus say? That's not your problem. I'm just saying, work. And don't worry about the other disciple. Don't worry about the other believer. Don't worry about the other. That's not your problem. And if we start to excuse ourselves and say, I've done enough and this is it. Now, I know there's times to say no when you're asked to serve, probably. But I'm just going to say this, and that is that I think too often we look for reasons to say no rather than reasons to say yes. And you can think about that. And lastly, in order to use your talents, learn to grow in the areas that you think you're weak. And we say, well, sometimes we say, well, you know, maybe just devotions isn't your thing. Well, so what? Maybe just do it anyway. Maybe some of us, preaching isn't really our thing. So what? Do it anyway, right? Because you see, we do this to our children. You all probably have bicycles. And you take that bike and you show that thing to that four-year-old and you say, here, ride the bike. And they say, we can't. And they get on that thing and they wobble and they flop and they fall over and they scrape their knees and bumps, get hurt. But what happens? You say, do it again. And you practice and you practice and you practice. And not every child will ride wheelies. Not every child will stand on a seat ride. Not every child will ride without hanging on the handlebars. But every child will ride. And my point this morning is, and that is, in order to serve in the kingdom, maybe you say there's some things that I'm not as good at in, but practice them. And I believe that as you practice and as you continue to serve where God has called you, and as you continue to abound in His work, that you will get better in areas that you never thought you would be good at. I believe that. I believe that that's... People can learn to do all kinds of things. They can learn to type. They can learn to ride ripsticks. I remember them things first showed up in the store. I was like, how would you ever stand on them? And then all my children ride them. I'm kind of jealous because I've never learned to ride it. And I don't think you can at this age. But they do. Maybe if I tried hard enough, I could. But so maybe there's an age where if you have never developed the talent, you probably never will. That's probably true. But many, many times, what we pour our energy into, we can accomplish. So if we want to build God's kingdom, today, this week, this year, for the remainder of our life, we need to pour energy into it. In closing, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This morning when you returned, when the Lord returns, when the Lord returns for his church, are you going to have something to show in return for the resources he has given you? And is he going to be able to look at what you have poured your energy into from the time you were born again until the time that you laid in the grave? Is he going to be able to look and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We will be rewarded accordingly to how much effort and energy we put in to God's work. Labor to enter into that rest. You may kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you at the close of this service. Father, I just thank you for your word. And Father, we find ourselves in an era of time, of opportunity. And Father, may we use the opportunities about us, and may we use the talents that you have placed into our hands, in the hands of your church. Lord, I just pray that we would use them to build your kingdom. Father, help us to remember who we are and who we serve. Father, help us to be real in our lives. Help us to live as you want us to live. Father, I pray a blessing upon each person here. I pray that each one, whatever their need may be, discouragement, sickness, whatever, Lord, as they view their lives, Lord, that they would realize that you have a work for them, and that they would find areas of opportunity to serve in. And Father, that your kingdom would continue to grow. Father, we know your kingdom will grow whether we are involved or not, but Father, we know that you want each one of your disciples to work. Father, may we be employed in that field. Father, I pray a blessing upon each one here. Pray for any needs here, for sickness, for strength, Lord, just to continue to press on in this journey of life, Lord, when we get weary. Father, help us to realize that there is a reward that is awaiting those of us who remain faithful to you through all of life. This we pray in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen.